hopefully a successful week one for you fantasy-wise. It's time now to talk about week two as we go inside the fantasy spin with Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com. Of course, I'm Bo Wolf. And Joe, let's talk about this Eagles offense. Obviously, a struggle early against a pretty good Jaguars defense. Nick Foles and the offense turned things around in the second half. How do you feel about Foles? Obviously, he struggled, but he still put up numbers.
I think that's the key aspect of this offense. I'm sure Nick Foles, if you were in the tape room with him watching the review of this game, I'm sure he would have told you he should have thrown for 450 yards in this game. Instead, he went for about 320 and two touchdowns. This is what this offense is going to do, though. Nick Foles probably would tell you, hey, I didn't play very well in this game, and he still threw for 320 yards, two touchdowns. If he plays better, maybe he goes for 400. That's just the upside that this offense has, and that's why I love having Nick Foles for fantasy, because even if he doesn't have his best game, he's going to be able to put up big numbers each and every week. That's what having this offense, this play calling staff, and these weapons is going to be able to do for him. So Nick Foles, until proven otherwise, is a weekly fantasy starter at quarterback.
And obviously, if you have Foles, you're starting him this week against the Colts defense that gave up 31 points to the Denver Broncos. And one of the areas where that Colts defense was able to be exploited was at tight end, where Julius Thomas had three touchdowns, a bunch of yards, single-handedly cost me my first week one matchup against Chris McPherson. Still will not forgive them for that, but hopefully that means that Zach Ertz is the guy who can take advantage this week.
Well, I'm hoping DeQuell Jackson takes some Z-Quil this week, because he's going to need to sleep a little bit better, because he's having nightmares of Julius Thomas, and he's probably having nightmares just thinking about Zach Ertz and what he could do to him defensively. Look, Zach Ertz didn't have a whole lot of high volume in this game against the Jaguars. Only five targets. He played only 60% of the snaps. That's why I'm a little concerned about him as a weekly starter at the tight end position. But it's evident he can be so efficient. He's one of the best route runners at his position in the entire NFL. He might be, outside of Jeremy Maclin, the best field stretcher on the Eagles team. So this is a guy that can take the ball in the short area and turn it into a big game. Or he can simply run a deep route and turn it into a big game. So Zach Ertz, because of his upside, I'm totally cool with him starting each and every week in my lineup. But understand that because of the wealth of weapons the Eagles have, there's going to be some disappointment here and there, I think.
All three catches for Ertz against the Jaguars came for over 25 yards, including that one touchdown. All right, let's look around the league. And, of course, one of the most dreaded phrases you'll hear in fantasy is a running back by committee. We have one down in Miami. Who's the guy to own? No Sean Moreno or Lamar Miller?
Can I be wishy-washy on this? I would say no Sean Moreno for right now, but it looks like they might actually have two viable fantasy backs. And look what a creative offensive coordinator can do for you. Bill Lazor, who came from the Chip Kelly school, he knows how to utilize the run game and create explosive plays out of it. The Dolphins had zero fantasy-relevant fantasy backs this year. I think they'll have two this year. I was a little bit surprised by the play breakdown, to be completely honest with you. Lamar Miller was the guy who got the pass targets, not no Sean Moreno. And I thought Moreno, his impact could have been made on third down and in the passing game. Instead, he got more than 20 carries. He ran for 130 yards. He ran really hard. I still think Miller is a more explosive back. But no Sean Moreno runs really hard. They like him around the goal line. If I had to pick one guy to have on my team, it's going to be no Sean Moreno. But Lamar Miller proved, and Bill Lazor proved with the way both of the backs were utilized, that both of these guys can have some fantasy value.
Interesting matchup for the Dolphins this week. Interdivision as they go up to Buffalo. And staying within that AFC East, we've also got to talk about Chris Johnson and Chris Ivory, who were both productive for the Jets, but CJ2K was the guy who was really the bell cow for the Jets. Is he a player who maybe is in for a bounce back season?
This is going to be a little bit weird for Chris Johnson, because he's not going to have volume for the first time in his entire NFL career. But in terms of being an NFL player, I think this is actually going to make him more effective. I think he's needed to be kind of a rotational player that they haven't had the opportunity to make him in Tennessee. But this year in Marty Morningwig's offense, he's going to rotate with Chris Ivory, and I think it's going to help keep Chris Johnson a little bit fresher. He might not have the RB2 value that he had in his time with Tennessee, but I think he's going to have decent flex value, especially if you're in a PPR league. They've needed to get him the ball on the perimeter for years. Tennessee really didn't figure out how to do it. But the Jets seem to have done it, and after 1 week, I'm cool with starting Chris Johnson as my flex.
And they've got a matchup against a Packers run defense that was pretty leaky against the Seahawks. Of course, Marshawn Lynch is pretty good himself.
Yes,
all right,
he is.
Big picture wise, a little bit quicker. Let's talk about some guys to sell high on and buy low on after week one.
I think I might sell high on Anquan Boldin, and I've doubted Anquan Boldin in the past, and he's proved me wrong. I doubted him before he went to San Fran last year, and he had one of his best years, the best year he's had, frankly, since he left the Arizona Cardinals. But after a huge game against the Dallas Cowboys in week one thing I want to be wary of, the 49ers really didn't run a whole lot of offensive plays in this game. They didn't really need to because they had such a big lead early, and I think that really limited the impact of Michael Crabtree, who came into the game with a calf injury. They didn't need to test out Crabtree. They didn't need to run a risk of aggravation. And ultimately, I think Crabtree and Vernon Davis, those are going to be the two guys to go to here, not Anquan Boldin. I would try to capitalize on Bolden's name value and sell him high. Now, if I want to buy somebody low, I'd go after Eddie Lacy of the Green Bay Packers. And I understand that the concussion is a huge concern. It's his second in a year. But he did come off of a concussion last year, ran like an animal after it. And I'm never going to hold facing Seattle on the road at night against a fantasy back. This is a rare opportunity, Bo, to get you a fantasy stud on your team for a cheaper price than he was available for a week ago.
All right, well, that does it for this week's Fantasy Spin. As always, Joe Dolan takes us through everything you need to know ahead of your matchups. Follow him on Twitter at FG_Dolan, and we'll see you next week right here on the Fantasy Spin.